Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. Actually, we're going back up into chapter 1 and begin reading with Exodus chapter 1 and verse 15. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, the name of the other Purah. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men's children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, every daughter ye shall save alive. And then there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. She had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. I'm going to cease reading with these verses here today. You know, if there's one thing that we know about women, it's that they are extremely protective over their children. They'll fight for their children. You know, certainly there's probably no greater rage, no greater fear, no greater joy than that of a mother for her child. So let's stop and consider this story here today, how that you have this decree that goes out from Pharaoh to all the women of Israel, and that is that if you have a son, he is to be killed. This goes out to the midwives, that whenever you deliver a child, that if this child is a son, that you are to kill it. You can imagine the chatter that was going through the neighborhood, so to speak. You can imagine all the talk and all the fear and the anxiety that goes along with something like this, that we are to kill children. And so you can imagine that motherly instinct kicking in. You can imagine the rage that they would have. And so God blesses, and He blesses those midwives that they don't have to do this, and He takes care of them. But now you have this woman of Levi, Moses' mother, and she's with child. So you can imagine for much time, she's already knew the decree that went out from Pharaoh that if you have a male child, that the midwives are to expose of a child. And then she finds herself with child. And now the new decree, the more enforced decree, is that if you have a child, that you're just to cast it on into the river. Just expose of your kid like a piece of garbage. And you can imagine the anxiety that would build up inside this woman as she realizes she's with child. That you can imagine maybe how she would be praying that, Lord, please don't let this be a little boy, because if it's a little boy, you know what we're facing. And so she goes 9 months, no doubt, or thereabout, and she is, you know, has extreme anxiety. She's worried about the outcome. She's trying to figure out what is my strategy going to be if it is a little boy. And then the day finally comes, and she's delivered, and she holds in her hand a baby boy. Now, she goes about, and she's maybe already thought this through, and she's, you know, come up with a plan, and she begins to try to hide this child, and she goes for 3 months. And she's fighting, she's plotting, She's maneuvering for this child. And she's hitting 3 months, and you can imagine how she's tensed up every time that this child makes a sound. You can imagine how she's not getting any sleep because she probably feels like any other woman would, that if I fall asleep and they come in, they're going to take my child and they're going to kill it. And so she's probably avoiding everyone and anyone just to keep this child safe. So 3 months, and then you figure maybe the 9 months that she spent worrying, anticipating the child. So she's went a full year, and she has done the very best that she can. Now what do you do? Now what do you do whenever the best you can is not good enough? How do you cope when your best just isn't good enough, when there's no other way? There's only one thing left, and that is the faith way. I'm going to have faith in God. You know, sometimes we have to put our baby in the river. That's the decision that she had. I'm going to take my baby. I'm not just going to cast it in and let the baby drown. I'm going to make a basket, and I'm going to secure it to the best of my ability. I've done everything I can up until this point, and now I'm going to place it in a basket, and I'm going to make sure that it's secure, and I'm going to place it over here in the flags of the river, and I'm going to leave him in the hands of the Lord. You know, sometimes that's the way it is with us, that we have to put our baby in the river. Sometimes God says, I want you to give me that which is precious. I want you to take that you have set your heart upon, that which you have done your very best with and have found it to be less than adequate. I want you to take that, and I want you to give it to me. You see, God is aware of our efforts to do what is right. He sees our struggles. God sees us doing the very best that we can and, you know, trying to make the best of situations in our life. He knows when we're up against a rock in a hard place. And so I mentioned the faith way. The faith way requires us to surrender what is precious to us. That God, I'm going to trust you, because I can't do it on my own. Now, maybe with you, it's your health. That you've tried to, maybe you've got a health problem and you've went to the doctors and you've tried to be as healthy as you can, and things just get worse and worse. And so, you know, to take your health and just put it in the river, God, I'm leaving it in your hands. Or maybe it's some lost soul that you've been so concerned about, and maybe you've witnessed to, and maybe you've invited them to church, and maybe you've done everything you know to do, and you felt like everything that God has led you to do, that you've done it up until this point, and you just don't know what else to do. Well, listen, God's the one that saves. We're not responsible for results. We're just responsible to obey the Lord. And sometimes we have to come to a place where we just place that lost soul in the river. And God, I'm leaving it in your hands. I'm going to let you handle this. Maybe it's a financial baby that you're trying desperately to keep quiet. And it's getting louder and louder, and you see things falling apart, and you've done the best you can. Maybe you've picked up an extra job to try to make ends meet, and you just realize that I'm not going to be able to do it anymore. Maybe it's that financial baby that you're going to have to take and place in the river, that which is precious to you. You've spent time on, you've invested your heart into, you've done everything that you know to do. Time and time again, we find ourselves facing the river, and it scares us to death, because what God is saying is, I need you to lose control. I need you to let go. I need you to trust me with this. Sometimes God requires of us, as His children, He requires of us complete surrender. You know, again, I look at Moses' mother, and God is saying, I need you to let go. Oh, how hard that would be. Let's consider the feelings when Moses' mother, she brings this baby down to the river. You can just imagine, like any other mother, that she has taken precious time with this basket. She has done everything that she can to secure it. You think it says it? She daubed it with slime. You can just imagine how she probably put many, many coats of slime on this to ensure that at least it can't sink. I can't let there be a crack in it. It's got to be secure. So I'm sure that she has done everything that she could. She's thought this through time and time again. But you can imagine, like any other mother, as she takes this baby down to the river, and she finally loses her grip on that little ark. I'm sure she's desperately, she does not want to let it go. She wants to hold on. She wants to keep it secure as long as she can, but God wants her to surrender. And so finally, she lets go. She releases it. You can imagine what goes through her mind. She's probably thinking, again, like any other mother, am I absolutely crazy? This is my precious son. What if it tips over? What if it sinks? What if something happens beyond my control? You can imagine all the questions that would go through her mind. But I want to encourage us here today. Look what happens when she lets go. That God, He's in your hands. I've done everything I can do. I'm going to let you handle this. And when she lets go, look what happens. The baby lives. Thank the Lord, the baby lives. But not only does the baby live, she is paid to raise her child. She is protected by a princess that nothing's going to happen to this child now because it is protected. Maybe she's even brought into the king's palace. She's living the high life now because she surrendered. Moses becomes the deliverer of Israel. None of this was even on her radar. None of this she could ever expect because she feels like she's doing the best that she can. And her best is not good enough. And now she feels like she's up against the wall. And God, all I can do is trust you. And when she finally lets go, God takes over. God is good. And His plans are much bigger than our plans. God can see the end from the beginning. God understands our situation way more than we do. Much, much more than we do. God understands our situations. And while we're busy doing the best we can, the faith way puts our struggles in the hands of God. You know, I think about Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. It says there, "He that findeth life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Reminds me of a story that I studied and read one time. You know, there's a certain daddy had a little girl, and he wanted to do for her. This was the apple of his eye. And he goes out and he buys her a little string of plastic pearls, which quickly becomes her favorite accessory. She wears those little pearls everywhere she goes. She feels like a princess. She looks at herself in the mirror. She's everywhere she goes, she's got the little pearls on. And just like any plastic pearls, you can imagine what happens when a child wears them everywhere she goes. She wears them when she gets a shower. She wears them, you know, out to play. They begin to turn green, begin to get nasty, dirty, filthy. And so Mama has a problem with that. She comes in, she says, "Look, you're going to have to do something about those pearls. They are just nasty." And so he says, "Well, I'll take care of it." So he goes in at night to tuck his little girl in. And he says, "Do you love Daddy?" Of course, the little baby, she looks at Daddy and says, "Daddy, I love you with all my heart. I love you." He said, "Well, if you love me, give me those pearls." All of a sudden, she's got a problem. She loves Daddy, but she loves her pearls. And she tells him, she said, "Daddy, I love you, but I love my pearls and I want to hold on to them." And so he doesn't push the issue. He walks on out, and after he tucks her in, kisses her little cheek, he walks out. The next day, same thing. "If you love Daddy, give me those pearls." And she said, "Daddy, I love you, but I love my pearls." He said, "Well, okay, we'll see." He goes on, the third night he comes in, he says, "Listen, if you love Daddy, give me those pearls." And she reaches and she takes those pearls off and she hands them up. She said, Daddy, I love these pearls, but I love you more. And you can imagine how that would affect Daddy, the tears rolling down his eyes. But he reaches into his pocket and he pulls out a brand new set of real pearls. That he that findeth life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Oh, the beauty of surrender. The faith way of trusting God because He truly knows best. He truly wants for us to be joyful. He has our best interest at heart. You know, I was a simple country boy with simple country ambitions. I checked off, I had this checklist, and I just began to check off things that, you know, graduated high school, check, did that. I want to be a welder, check, did that. I want to have a beautiful wife, check, got a beautiful wife. I want to have a simple job and be able to come home in the afternoons. Check, got that. I was working the job I wanted, have the life I wanted, live in the place where I wanted. Everything that, all my dreams, I was checking them off one by one. We want to have children, have my little girl, held her in my hands, precious to me. And check, I've got that. I want to be home at 3:30 in the afternoon. I want that morning shift. So I began to work for that, got the morning shift, and now I'm home at 3:30 in the afternoon. Everything's working according to Brad O'Neill's plan. And then he began to call me to preach. He began to convict me and show me that I could be working for him, that I could be doing His will and standing and preaching His word. And I wanted to fight that. That was the last thing in the world I would ever want to do. And so I began to fight that. And I'd wake up in the morning, 5 o'clock, and I'd kiss my wife goodbye. And I'd return at 3:30 and had 2 weeks paid vacation. All the things that I wanted were just right. And the Lord showed me the river. When He called me to preach, He said, I want you to take it all and I want you to let go of it. I want you to just let go of it. I watched every dream float away when I surrendered. He has enlarged my coast, though, dear friend. Listen to me. He has set me in heavenly places. He gave me family that I knew not of, a life I never wanted. Today is a life I would never trade for anything. If God is showing you the river, it's okay to surrender. If you're lost and you're scared and you're worried and you wonder, can I really trust Jesus? I want you to understand something. You can just release everything. And you can trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and He'll save your soul. He'll never let you down. Do you know that you cannot be saved until you completely let go of being lost? It's just impossible. You can't say, I trust in Jesus as my Savior, but I'm still lost. You can't hold on to that being lost. You've got to let go. You've got to repent. You've got to turn from being a sinner, turn from being lost, and turn to Jesus and put your faith and your trust in Him. If you'll do that, He'll save you. Look to Jesus who died for your sins. Trust Him completely. The best you can do is just filthy rags in His sight, but He can save you to the uttermost if you will simply trust in Him.